أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. There is a hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam saying that innama about Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha innama summiyat Fatima li'anna an-nasa futimu an ma'rifataha. The reason she's named Fatima is because people are cut off, are cut away from having a knowledge of her status. It is not possible for people to understand what the status of Fatima is. And that's true because she's one of the Siddiqat. Siddiqeen and Siddiqat in the Quran, of course, are given a very high station and things which are not somehow apprehendable by our ordinary minds. The apprehension of what a Siddiq or a Siddiqa is could be somehow brought to mind by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran about Maryam, who was a Siddiqa. She is mentioned explicitly in the Quran that she was a Siddiqah. And this Siddiqah, from young age, the angels talked to her. She talked to angels. God gave her direct instructions. She was not a prophetess, of course. We do not believe that she was a prophetess, but this is the position of a Siddiqah. And of course, for men, Siddiq like Amirul Mu'mineen is Siddiq al-Akbar, and Fatima al-Zahra is Siddiqa al-Kubra. Now, how can we approach to describe someone like Fatima? Let me tell you one thing initially. You have probably heard of Dr. Ali Shariati, a great thinker of past generation. And he, although he had some controversial views, but some of his books have deep insight into the knowledge about certain religious issues. She has a book about Fatima al-Zahra, peace be on her. After, of course, towards the end of the book, after she mentions about her life story and different things which happened to her, the knowledge that she showed, the patience she showed during all those years, he says that I now want to describe Fatima, but I couldn't find words to describe her. So I thought initially, I say, let's describe Fatima by through others. So I thought, I say, Fatima is the mother of Zainab. That's, of course, gracious lady, the paragon of patience and bravery and whatever we have seen from her in Karbala and afterwards. Then I thought, no, this does not describe Fatima well. So I thought, I say, Fatima is daughter of Khadija, the greatest lady who sacrificed whatever he had for the Prophet, her wealth, her reputation, everything. Then I thought, no, this does not describe Fatima well. Then I thought, let me say that Fatima is the mother of Hassan and Hussein, especially the mother of Hussein, whom we know better through Karbala. the one who sacrificed everything in love of God. She is the one who has brought up this son. She is mother of Hussein. Then I thought, no, this cannot describe Fatima well. Fatima is beyond that. I thought, okay, Fatima is the wife of Ali. What goes beyond that? But no, Ali had other wives later on as well, and this cannot describe Fatima. Fatima was daughter of Muhammad, of course, the closest. The closest person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who praised Fatima so much, who described Fatima the way he described, who loved Fatima the way he loved. So I thought, let me say Fatima is daughter of Muhammad. Then I said, no, this cannot describe Fatima still. So at the end of the book, the last sentence of the book is that, so I describe Fatima as such. Fatima is Fatima. You cannot describe her in any other way. She is the one she is. And that's true. Of course, when our station is low, we are attributed to people who are higher than us. And we are attributed sometimes to our fathers, to our sons, to our siblings, because of course they are higher than us. But for Fatima, he says, for Fatima, you cannot do this. Fatima is beyond such descriptions. You have to know Fatima the way she was. Now, how should we know Fatima? Because Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq said, you know why she is called Fatima? Because Fatima is from Fatim, and Fat means to cut off. And because people cannot know her. So that's why she's called Fatima. I would like to draw on one very beautiful letter of Amirul Mu'mineen to Muawiyah, talking about the difference between those who say they confess Islam. Initially, some people think that, okay, anyone who confessed Islam in the presence of the Prophet, peace be on him, he is one of the Sahaba, and the Sahaba are all the same. Well, this is the most simpleton view that we can have about Sahaba. I want to go to the khutbah of Fatima, salamullah alayha, khutbah fadakiyya, the way she addresses the companions of the Prophet, al-muhajirun and ansar. And the way she sees the companions of the Prophet is great, of course. You know, Islam has spread through the companions of the Prophet. This is what we know. I'm going to elaborate on that when I come to the khutbah of Fatima, peace be on her. But that doesn't mean that all the companions had the same status. And those of whom who made great sacrifices, I just liked those who said Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah because to save their neck is they are not equal, of course. Now, there is a letter in Nahj al-Balagha, letter number 28. This is a letter in response to a letter by Muawiyah to Amir al-Mu'minin. And what was the letter of Muawiyah? Is mentioned by Ibn Abi al-Hadid, the great Sunni scholar who was the commentator of Nahj al-Balagha as well. He says that this letter is written in response to a letter by Muawiyah on the instigation of Amr ibn As, trying to provoke Ali, peace be on him, to say something against Abu Bakr and Umar. Had he done that, and this is a very telling story, you see, we have to be shrewd and we have to be followers of those who are the imams of our nation, and especially the imams of the Shia. Why Muawiyah wanted to do that? Because had Ali said anything against Abu Bakr and Umar, there would have been great fitna against him. Because in Syria, he would have said, look, the companions of the Prophet, the first caliph, the second caliph, Ali is talking against them. And also even in Iraq, people were respecting these khulafa. And he wanted to provoke Ali to say something against them. And he knew that Ali, peace be on him, is going to answer the letter. And he's not going to leave it without any reference to what he wrote. He wrote that, you know, the best person after the Prophet was Abu Bakr, who led the Ummah in with justice and righteousness. And then after him came Umar, who again was the most just caliph after Abu Bakr, and the second best person after the Prophet. And you always felt jealous about them. You wanted to take their position while they were better than you. And then when Uthman ibn Affan came, you instigated people against him. You wanted to kill him. All these were allegations, of course. Now, what Ali, peace be on him, writes is very interesting. He writes that, yes, your book has, your letter has come to me. You talked in that letter about the blessing of Muhammad, how Allah has blessed the Ummah through Muhammad, peace be on him, and how he supported him in his faith and made the faith to prevail. فَلَقَدْ خَبَّأَ لَنَا الدَّهْرُ مِنْكَ أَجَبَى. Now, there was something that the time was concealing from me of your wonders. You know why? Because up to the last breath, Muawiyah was fighting against the Prophet until they were defeated in Mecca, and under duress, they confessed Islam. Muawiyah and his father Abu Sufyan. Now he's talking about the blessings of the Prophet. He says, it's very strange the way you talk, and you are talking about the blessings of our Prophet to us, and za'amta anna afdal an-nas fil Islam, and you think that the best people in Islam, fulanun wa fulan, he doesn't name. You have to learn from Amirul Mu'mineen. Fulan and Mufran, you have thought that these are the people. فَذَكَرْتَ أَمْرًا إِن تَمَّعْتَ زَلَكَ. Okay, you are talking about the merits of the companions of the Prophet. What's that to do with you? That's not your business. You never have been a companion of the Prophet as such. You believed under duress. So you want to now say who was better than the others? And وَمَا أَنْتَ وَالْفَاضِلِ وَالْمَفْلُولُ. How can you judge who's most meritorious, who's better, who's worse? وَالسَّائِسَ وَالْمَسُوسِ. Who should be an imam, who shouldn't be an imam? وَمَا لِلْطُلَقَاءِ وَأَبْنَاءِ الطُلَقَاءِ وَالْتَمِيزِ بَيْنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Very clever answer. Since when the tulaqa, those who were released by the Prophet after the conquest of Mecca, and they fought until the last strike against the Prophet, since when have they the right to distinguish between the ranks of Muhajirun and Ansar? Okay, it's up to us. That has nothing to do with you. وَتَرْتِيبَ دَرَجَاتِهِمْ وَتَعْرِيفَ طَبَقَاتِهِمْ. And you want to describe their ranks and say what are their classes and such things. And then he says that, yes, of course, there is one way to distinguish. It's not your business. I'm just saying that others hear. There is one way to distinguish between the companions of the Prophet. And that is, you see, he wanted to extricate something against the Khulafa from the mouth of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he, of course, he never mentioned that. So he says, you know, there is one way to distinguish. You know what? إِنَّ قَوْمًا اسْتَشْهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ. A group of Muhajirin and Ansar were martyred in the way of God. وَلَكُلَّنْ فَضْلٌ All of them have their merits, of course. All of those Muhajirun and Ansar, the companions of the Prophet, who were martyred, all of them, they have their fadl and merit. حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتُشْهِدَ شَهِيدُنَا Until our shaheed got martyred. Who was our shaheed? The shaheed from Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet, Hamza Sayyid al-Shuhada. قِيلَ سَيِّدُ الشُّهَدَى You know, all those shuhada had merits until Hamza was martyred. Then it was said, سَيِّدُ الشُّهَدَى وَخَسَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَالِهِ بِالسَّبْعِينَ تَكْبِيرَةً إِنْدَ صَلَاتِهِ عَلَيْهِ You know, for Salatul al-Janaza, for the dead person, when we pray, we say five takbir, isn't it? That's the Sharia. For Hamza Sayyid al-Shahada, Prophet, peace be on him, said 70 takbir. That was his great merit, and he didn't do it for anyone else. For any other companion of him who was martyred, he never did that. And, وَإِنَّ أَوَلَا تَرَى أَنَّ قَوْمًا قُطَّعَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Many of the companions of the Prophet lost their hands in battle. وَلَكُلَّنْ فَضْلٌ All of them have their merits. حَتَّى إِذَا فُعِلَ بِوَاحِدِنَا مَا فُعِلَ بِوَاحِدِهِمْ Until one of us lost his hand. Ja'far, Amir al-Mu'min's brother. قِيلَ الطَّيَّارُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَذُو الْجَنَاحَيْنِ The Prophet said, he is the one who flies in paradise. He's ذُو الْجَنَاحَيْنِ Now these are the things that no one can deny, isn't it? And ولولا ما نهى الله عنه من تزكية المرء نفسه لذكر ذاكر فضائل الجنة If Allah had not prohibited us to talk about our own merits, someone would have talked about his merits, meaning himself. I would have said, what have I done? And what prophets have said about me? The prophet have said about me, تعرفها قلوب المؤمنين قلوب المؤمنين know all these. فدأنك مَمَّالَتْ بِهِ الرَّمِيَّةِ Now, leave all these things. This is not your business to judge between me and Abu Bakr and Umar. This is not your business. You are want to create fitna, of course. فَإِنَّا This is very important. إِنَّا سَنَاءُ رَبِّنَا وَالنَّاسُ بَعْدُ سَنَاءُ لَنَا We are those who are raised, made by our God. And then people are made, are guided by us. It's great difference here. Like what Allah says to Musa alayhi salam, وَاسْتَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي I raised for my own purpose. We are نَحْنُ سَنَاءُ رَبِّنَا So it's not up to you to come and judge between Muhajirun and Ansar. And then he says, of course, then you confess Islam. And we honored you. He said, okay, we are brothers. We are Muslims. All of us are Muslims, our brothers. We married off our daughters to you. You married off our daughters to us. And then you thought that this makes us equal. That if Prophet gives his daughter to someone, or if Amir al-Mu'min gives his daughter to someone, or if he marries someone else, for example, they become equals. He said, you are confused with that. You shouldn't judge like that. وَلَسْتُمْ هُنَاكُ وَأَنَّا يَكُونُ ذلك. And how could we be equal after all this? I know we have married, we have mixed with each other, but this shouldn't make you to misapprehend your position. Now I tell you, من النبي. Let me say a sort of pedigree of who we are. Prophet is from us, Banu Hashim. You are Banu Umayyah, okay. You say Banu Umayyah are Muslims as well, Banu Hashim are Muslims, okay. But consider your position, sit in your place, take your own cup. مِنَّ النَّبِيِّ وَمِنْكُمُ الْمُكَذِّبُ You know, the Prophet is on our side. Mukadhib, who was Abu Jahl from Banu Umayyah, is on your side. وَمِنَّ عَسَدُ اللَّهِ And Asadullah Hamza Sayyid al-Shuhada is on our side, from us. وَمِنْكُمْ أَسَدُ الْأَحْلَافِ And from you is that lion of the oaths taken against the Prophet in Ghazwat al-Ahzab, when Abu Sufyan was taking oath from everyone to come and fight against the Prophet? Your father, isn't it? Minna asadullah, wa minkum asadul ahlaf, wa minna sayyida shabab ahl al-jannah. And from us are, of course, the two masters of the youth of the paradise, as the Prophet described them. Wa minkum sibyatun nar. You know, when Prophet saw children of Marwan ibn Hakam playing, he said, these children are the children of fire, because he knew how they would develop later on, becoming the kings and rulers and taking the position of the awliya Allah. Wa minna khayru nisa' al-alamin. Now this is not because she's his wife, he's telling it, because he's telling it this to Muawiyah. Okay, if one of these statements were somehow objectionable, could be sort of hesitated by Muslims, Amr wouldn't have mentioned it here. It is something that everyone would have accepted and admitted. وَمِنَّا خَيْرُ نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ وَمِنْكُمْ حَمَّالَةُ الْحَطَبِ. حَمَّالَةُ الْحَطَبِ was the aunt of Muawiyah, sister of Abu Sufyan, Ummu Jamil. As the Quran mentions, تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبٍ وَامْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةُ الْحَطَبِ. Who was his wife? This was Ummu Jamil, the sister of Abu Sufyan. Now, okay, your aunt is Hammalatul Hatab. From our side, we have Fatima, Khayru Nisa' al-Alamin. Now, you want to judge between Muhajirun and Ansar? You want this to say which companion was better than the other companion? This is not your position. Now, I mentioned this to allude to one fact, and that is, it was not disputed at that time. Later on, maybe people brought others in. At that time, it was not disputed that Fatima was Khayru Nisa' al-Alamin, the best lady in the whole world. And this is what the Prophet said to Fatima, peace be upon her, that you are Sayyidatu Nisa' al-Alamin. And she asked, but isn't Maryam Sayyidatu Nisa' al-Alamin? And the Prophet replied, she is Sayyidatu Nisa' al-Alamin fi zamanaha, in her time. But you are universally and eternally the most honorable lady in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is not something which was disputed. Later on, of course, you know, people can bring things in, can make hadith, or by raising someone by propaganda, can say, okay, some ladies were better than Fatima. At that time, there was no such thing. No dispute about the position of Fatima. And this also is quite apparent in the incident of her khutbah fadakiyah, when she went to the mosque after the fadak was confiscated from her to somehow suppress the financial means of Banu Hashim. When she went to mosque and started to talk to Muhajirun and Ansar, everyone, of course, first of all, everyone was impressed and saddened by the situation, what had happened. And secondly, of course, she was told by Abu Bakr that, yes, no one denies your merits. No one denies your merit. And no one denies that you are the daughter of the Prophet. No one could deny that, of course. But what happened, of course, was somehow the course that history took. It took a course that way. We should be clear in our mind that we do not want, or we cannot make what the history has made wrong, we can make it right. We cannot do that. History is history. We cannot change anything. We have to realize what is our position now and learn from our Imam Amirul Mu'mineen not to give play in the hand of those who want to create fitna among the Ummah. Muawiyah wanted to create Ummah among the Ummah. I know some of our Sunni brothers say Muawiyah was a Sahabi, a companion of the Prophet, we should not insult him or whatever. This is nonsense. This I never can come and say about Muawiyah something good. He never did anything good in his life. And the great scholar Nasa'i, who has written this, is writer of one of the Sahah of Sitta, when he went to Syria and saw that people were talking bad about Ali, he wrote a book, Khasa'isu Ali ibn Abi Talib, the distinguishing features of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the people became very angry. They said, why don't you write anything about other companions, only about Ali? He said, because you talk bad about Ali. I wrote about Ali. They said, no, write about other companions as well. He wrote a book, Khasa'isu Sahaba, the merits of companions, starting with Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and others. But there was no mention of Muawiyah there. And they said, why don't you mention anything about Muawiyah? He said, by God, I haven't heard anything good about Muawiyah. What should I write about Muawiyah? Except that the Prophet said, Allahumma la ashba' Allahu batna. May Allah never satiate him. This is the only thing I've heard reported from the Prophet about Muawiyah. And they, of course, they injured him, they hit him and sacked him out of the Damascus, and he died on the way. This great Sunni scholar, this very respected Sunni scholar, one of the authors of Sahih Sitta. So there is no compromise about Muawiyah. We cannot say that, yes, Muawiyah, who created all those mischief, is a companion of the Prophet. Muawiyah radiallahu anh killed Ammar radiallahu anh, fought against Ali radiallahu anh. This is not possible. But we leave the judgment about those who were with the Prophet all the time. Not like Tulaqa, those who believed under duress. Well, we leave this until Allah judges. We do not want to insult, as we do not like to be insulted. We want to live in peace and brotherhood with all other Muslims, except those who are followers of Muawiyah, like what you see nowadays. We cannot, of course, be in peace with them, as Ali could not be in peace with them. We cannot be in peace with them. But all other Muslims who are 95% of Muslims, yes, we want to be in peace with them. Now, what Fatima, peace be on her, said in her khutbah, I want to mention one thing about what she said to the companions of the Prophet, and a little bit about the contents of her talk, a little bit, to see why she is Khayru Nisa'il Alameen, the best women in the world. While this, she was very young. I mean, the majority of Shia scholars say that she was born 5 years after Ba'tha, which makes her demise at the age of 18. Sheikh Mufid and some others say she was born 2 years after Ba'tha, which makes her about 21 years old when she passed away. And majority of Sunni scholars say she was born 5 years before Ba'tha, which makes her about 28 years. Anyhow, she was very young when she passed away. But the type of knowledge that she had. When she went to the mosque, Medina Mosque, to talk about her grievances to the companions of the Prophet, because she became very upset about something unexpected, that was confiscation of Fadak. Whatever the reason of Abu Bakr was, we don't want to judge. He had a reason for it, but we know that Fatima was not convinced about the reason. So she went to the mosque complaining to the companions of the Prophet. Now what she said to the companions, she said that antum Ibadullah nusbu amrihi wa nahyih. You, boundsmen of Allah, you are the flags, you are the signposts of His commands and prohibitions, the companions. وَحَمَلَتُ دِينِهِ وَوَحِيِهِ. You are the ones who carry His religion and His revelation. And that's true. After the Prophet passed away, who spread Islam in the world? It was the companions of the Prophet. They spread the word. They promoted Islam. They went to different parts of the world to teach Quran to others. So they were important. We never should underestimate the value of companions of the Prophet, peace be on him. As I said, not those who somehow pretended to be a companion of the Prophet, those who really had made sacrifices in the way of promotion of Islam. They were the ones. If the Hawariyun of Isa alayhi salam were not in place, where was the Christianity? Where was the Christian faith? Isa was raised to heavens. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kunu ansarallah kama qala Isa ibn Maryam lil hawariyin man ansari ilallah. O you who believe, be helpers of God. Can we help God? Yes, the way the Hawariyun of Isa helped Allah. How did they help? Because Isa was going to be raised to heavens. His faith was not preached, was being aborted. So he said, who helps me? By spreading this word after me. قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُونَ نَحْنُ أَنْصَارُ اللَّهِ. They say, we do it. We are the helpers of Allah. And Allah tells us that you be like them. And the address is to companions of the Prophet initially. And the companions of the Prophet really did the job. We know that. They did the job. They spread the word. Despite all the disagreements they had among themselves, they did it. And here Fatima, peace be on her, said that you are the ones who are entrusted with the revelation. And you are entrusted with زعيم حق له فيكم. A pledge that you have taken and a trust that you have taken from Allah, which is Quran, that you have to spread. And then, of course, he expounds on that and commends companion for doing such things. It's all true. It's all true. It's because of the companions. We have Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam in the third khutbah of Nahjul Balagha, when he talks about the companions of the Prophet and prays for them. These were the ones who left their houses, their families, migrated with the Prophet. They went to battlefield. They fought. Some of them were martyrs. Some of them were maimed. And they made their own utmost sacrifice. And after the Prophet, they did the sacrifice as well. So no one would like to diminish the merits and the value of the companions of the Prophet. However, that doesn't mean that we just as simpletons say that, okay, whoever came in afterwards as well, like Muawiyah and others, they are regarded as the same. Those who fought against companions through all their lives until they were forced to defeat and they said, yes, we believe now, then we say, oh, they are like other companions as well. No, they are not. Of course they are not. We cannot accept that. This is not logical. This is not rational. This is not based on any revelation. This is not based on any logic, so we cannot accept that. Okay, as far as we know who Fatima was addressing in her khutbah, companions of the Prophet. And she put forward her grievances, why these things happened. Now, I don't want to go into details of the historical aspect of the khutbah, but when Fatima spoke, I mean, if you go through the khutbah, the type of literature, the type of terminology she uses, the sentence structure she uses in Arabic. One is just bewildered. This lady was not talking up till now at all. This lady was not giving any political address or any sermon. Suddenly, how can she do that? It's just like the prophets when the Quran says, "وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ." Before this, you never read a book, never wrote anything, and suddenly you have come out with such a book, such a literature. That's amazing. And about Fatima is amazing. The way she has actually expressed herself in this khutbah is amazing. And more amazing thing, I tell you, the most authentic version of this khutbah is reported by Zainab salamu alayha. Ibn Abbas is one of the reporters of this khutbah. He says, "Haddathatna aqilatuna Zainab bint Ali." Our prominent lady, Aqila is prominent lady. Our prominent lady Zainab, son of daughter of Ali, reported this to me. Now, Zainab at that time was only 5 years old. And the words used in this khutbah of Fatima al-Zahra is not known to many of those Arabs who were actually, those companions who were addressed by the khutbah, because it was elegant. How did she memorize this? How did she remember all this? That photographic sort of memory of Zainab, who captured everything and reported that back. It's amazing. Even more amazing than the khutbah itself, sometimes one thing. But whatever comes out of this family is like whatever comes out of the family of Zakaria and Maryam and Ali Imran and such things. All of amazement, wasn't it? All things came coming out of that family of Ali Imran was amazing. Of Zakaria was amazing. And these things coming out of this family, family of Prophet, peace be upon him, are amazing very much. Now, we said that people are cut off from knowing her. Now, a window to our knowledge towards her is her knowledge, her depth of knowledge of our religion. The way she described things for us which otherwise we couldn't understand. As Amirul Mu'minin says, "Inna sana'u Rabbana wa an-nasu ba'du sana'una." We are made, we are educated, taught by our Lord, and then people are taught by us. That's true. And we see this in the khutbah of Fatima, peace be upon him. Now, she says in the khutbah that Ashhadu, she starts of course with praise of Allah and such thing, and then she says, "Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah kalimatan." Now this la ilaha illallah, we say la ilaha illallah. This is a word, this is a sentence we say. But what is the interpretation of this sentence? What are different dimensions of la ilaha illallah that we talk? She alludes to three dimensions of la ilaha illallah. Very briefly, concisely, very eloquently. That, as I said, it cannot come out of heart and soul and mind of anyone but a Siddiqah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له كلمة جعل الإخلاص تأويلها وضمن القلوب موصولها وأنار في التفكر معقولها. Now, just three very small concise sentences about لا إله إلا الله, alluding to three dimensions of لا إله إلا الله. First of all, La ilaha illallah, you say La ilaha illallah. What is the translation of this La ilaha illallah in your soul and in your action? If La ilaha illallah you say is true, you know, we may just say La ilaha illallah all through our life, but we are not truthful. In the sense, that's why they are Siddiq and Siddiqa. We may not be truthful in what we say. Lie is not just lying to others. Lie may be lying to ourselves as well. Sadiq, truthfulness, is not just truthfulness to others. it may be truthfulness to ourselves as well. So when we say La ilaha illallah, are we truthful in this? How should it translate to make us a true confessor of La ilaha illallah? What is ikhlas? Is the interpretation of this in your actions. جَعَلَ الْإِخْلَاسَ تَعْوِيلَهَا. If you say La ilaha illallah, it means that you do not adore, worship, work for, rely on anything but Allah. Isn't it? La ilaha illallah. So the interpretation, the translation of La ilaha illallah in your actions is that you completely rely on Him. You completely worship Him, adore Him, love Him. You do not associate anyone with Him, especially yourself. You know, we are the greatest associates of God. We don't realize. Why? Because we rely on our power, on our talent. We boast. We behave as if all these things that we have are from us, not from Allah. And this is, of course, not ikhlas. Ikhlas means you do not regard anything, la quwwata illa billah. There is no power but Allah. You know what we have? Allah has given us the power of choice, okay? And this is the only thing that we have. The power, not the power, but power is given by Allah. Making choices is the only thing we have. Everything else is in the hand of Allah. We make a choice, we come across something, we make a choice, we react. Then when we want to actually implement our choice, the power comes from Allah. We learn, knowledge comes from Allah. We see, this sighting comes from Allah. We hear, it comes from Allah. So if we realize this, this is the interpretation of La ilaha illallah, ikhlas. One. So she says, she doesn't just say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah the way Muawiyah writes in his letter, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. No. That's nonsense. Not La ilaha illallah is nonsense. What he says is nonsense. إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ أَنَّ الْمُنَافِقُونَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. When munafiqun come and say, we witness that you are Rasulullah, of course God knows that you are Rasulullah, but what munafiqun says is nonsense, is lie. So, this is the first thing. جَعَلَ الْإِخْلَاسَ تَعْوِيلًا. Okay, when we say La ilaha illallah, we should develop a knowledge about God. We should develop some closeness to God. Where does that develop? In the heart. By heart, we mean the soul, not the physical heart. ذَمَّنَ الْقُلُوبَ مَوْصُولَهَا. You know, the real meaning of La ilaha illallah is known by the heart. The content of it is put in the hearts. ذَمَّنَ الْقُلُوبَ مَوْصُولَهَا. So we have one dimension of La ilaha illallah which should appear in our actions. The other dimension of La ilaha illallah is the knowledge which comes into our heart about Allah, if you are sincere. That sincerity is very important. Why some people are distinguished from others? There are not two people who are like each other in faith. Why? Because of the differences of these dimensions. And when that knowledge comes. Love of Allah comes. Because you cannot love someone who doesn't know God. Usually people ask, what should be our attitude towards God, fear or love? Well, the love, when the love of Allah comes, you fear Him most. Because you know Him. And someone who knows Him fears Him. Because His grandeur imposes itself upon your heart. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Only those who have knowledge of God have this khashya of Allah. And then that love is mixed with that. So رَمَّنَ الْقُلُوبَ مَوْسُولَهَا وَأَنَارَ فَالْتَفَكُّرَ مَعْقُولَهَا. Now, this La ilaha illallah has a logical meaning as well. It could be grasped by minds as well. It's not only the hearts. It's not only the actions in which La ilaha illallah manifests itself. It's logical. You look around yourself. You see this world with the harmony. There should be only one God in it. لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهَ لَفَسَدَتَا. If there were other gods besides God, they would have fought against each other, they would have overpowered each other, this world wouldn't have gone the same it would. So even in your intellect, this La ilaha illallah reflects its reasonable meaning. So this is just a short part, maybe one line of her khutbah. You can now see the depth of knowledge which pours out of a heart which is close to Allah, which is a Siddiqah, a soul which is a Siddiqah, the way it is expressed. Even though these are not actually the main content of her khutbah, she's going to talk about something else. But when she talks, these things come naturally because she is rooted in this knowledge. And this knowledge is rooted in her. So it comes naturally. Now, of course, you can imagine such a wife for Ali ibn Abi Talib was not like any other wife, was not an ordinary person. And Mina Amir al-Mu'min married after Fatima al-Zahra, but of course they were ordinary women. They were not like Fatima al-Zahra. The status that she had, which made Amir al-Mu'min is saying after she buried, she heard about the news of her demise, she said, بِمَنِ الْعَزَاءَ يَبْنَ بِنْتَ مُحَمَّدٍ. Who can condole me now, oh the daughter of the Prophet? Because I was seeking consolence in you after the Prophet, because you were almost at the same station with the Prophet, the same environment, the same ambience of spirituality. Now, to whom should I turn? To whom can I turn for condolence? It is reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas rahmatullah alayhi that he says that I heard the Prophet saying to Ali, Ya Ali, alayka bi ya As-salamu alayk, ya Aba Rayhanati. Peace be on you, the father of the two flowers. That's Hassan al-Husayn. Alayka bi Rayhanatayya min ad-dunya ba'di. After me, I ask you to look after my two flowers, Hassan al-Husayn. And this is what Amir al-Mu'min did all the time. He was very careful in battles, in other situations, that these two were not hurt. These were the sort of keepsakes of the Prophet, peace be on him. These were the flowers of the Prophet. Then, after saying that, عَلَيْكَ بِرَيْحَانَتَيَّ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا بَعْدِي وَاللَّهُ خَلِيفَتِي عَلَيْكَ, Allah will be my successor after me. Allah will be with you after me. Then he said, فَعَنْ قَرِيبٍ يَنْحَدُّ رُكْنَاكَ, your two pillars on which you stand will be destroyed soon. Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam says, probably later on saying to Abdullah ibn Abbas, that, or Abdullah ibn Abbas reports that when Prophet peace be on him passed away, Amir al-Mu'min said, هَذَا أَحَدُ رُكْنَيَّ الَّذِي قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, this is one of my pillars. This was one of my pillars. Now I stand on one pillar only. And when Fatima passed away, he said that my second pillar is now destroyed as well. So I have no support anymore. You can imagine, of course, for Fatima al-Zahra, joining her father very closely, soon after his demise was a good news. It was very pleasurable for her. This is what she wanted. But for Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, it was very difficult to be alone all those years without someone of her own caliber as his partner, of his own caliber as his partner. So when he buried Fatima at night, and this is an enigma why Fatima, peace be on her, wanted to be buried at night, didn't want some of the companions of the Prophet to pray on her body, on her grave. So when he finished burying him, he looked towards the shrine of the Prophet, peace be on him, saying that As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah anni wa an ibnatika nazilata bik nazilata bijawarik as-sari'at al-lahaqibik. Peace be on you, ya Rasulallah, from me and from your daughter who was quick to join you and lying beside you. قَلَّ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ عَنْ سَفِيَّتِكَ صَبْرِي. My patience is now finished, ya Rasul. Because now I have lost one. Up till now I could have patience, though, despite whatever happened. But now, قَلَّ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ عَنْ سَفِيَّتِكَ صَبْرِي وَرَقَّ عَنْهَا تَجَلُّدِ آيَةً. I don't know what to do now. Without her, I don't know what to do. فَسَتُنَبِّئُكَ إِبْنَتُكَ بِتَظَافُرُ أُمَّتِكَ عَلَىٰ حَظْمَ. Soon your daughter will inform you how your ummah collaborated to crush him. فَحْفَى السُّؤَالِ وَاسْتَحْبِرَهَا الْحَالِ وَلَا خَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيَ الْعَظِيمِ.
Allah!